Hello. This is Art Speak Radio, and I am Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1, here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We've got a hot lineup of really terrific guests here today, and, you know, I'm just going to rattle off some names. We've got Samantha Slupski, we've got Jeanette Powers, Mason A. Kilpatrick, we have Deb Pettit, Pete Cowden, Bo Bledsoe, Jeff Harshbarger, Elizabeth Soule, S.E. Nash, Ruben Castillo, and Savannah Rogers. Did I miss anyone? No. You'll have to tell me later, honey. Sunlay. Bye-bye. So, let's get started because this is an action-packed hour of dialogue and conversation. Yes, please. Thank you. And also, I want to tell you that Bo Bledsoe, Jeff Harshbarger, and Elizabeth Soule will be performing live. They are with the Bach Aria Soloists, and they're going to be performing live here in the studio at the second half of the hour. So let us get started. Mason A. Kilpatrick is Charlotte Street Studios Residency, or he's going to talk about the street. Charlotte Street Studio Residency. I'm just wired, kid, so
yeah,
welcome.
No, of course.
Hello, Mason. And you're like the public relations kind of guy, media. There you go.
Yes, I'm their communications manager. But once again, thank you so much for inviting us on this all-star lineup today. It's a stack pack, so thank you
all-star
for fitting us in.
You bet. So we're going to talk about the Charlotte Street Studio Residency. And again, we've got a wonderful group of artists here. So would you like to introduce them?
Yeah, of course. No, so every year Charlotte Street accepts about 29 to 32 artists for 30 studio spaces in our Town Pavilion Studios. Today we have three artists with us here. Brian Castillo, who's just really cool, Ruben.
We got
S.E. Nash. And then we have Savannah Rogers here as well. So, and all three of them are currently studio resident artists within the program. S.E. Nash, of course, is here for a second year. So,
and talk about the studio program, because I know that people would want to know what is that about.
Yeah, no. So every year from September through September, Charlotte Street opens its Town Pavilion Studio space to up to 32 artists to work for free. In a free space, free resources, and it's open to all various forms of artists. It's not just visual artists, it's also performing artists, theatrical performers, dance performers, writers as well, filmmakers. Savannah is, of course, a filmmaker. And actually, there's a call for it right now for this next upcoming year. So applications are currently being accepted to May 15. And we usually get, you know, usually around like 100 applications every year. And there's always a different jury panel that, of course, oversees the application. So even if you don't get in on one year, you can always apply again and have just as great of a chance because of the different minds that, of course, looking over the panels.
So just briefly, what are some of the guidelines? Do you have to be a Kansas City resident?
Actually, no. You don't have to be a Kansas City resident to apply. That's a really great thing. There's been a few artists within the past few years that have actually moved to Kansas City because of their acceptance within the program, which is really cool. We currently even have artists working as far out as like Lawrence, Kansas. That's where Lily McElroy is staying. Mm-hmm. And we've, of course, had like various other artists in like parts of Missouri in the past as well. And that's why this Saturday, the Open Studios event is a really crucial event for people to come check it out, whether you're someone who just loves to consume different various forms of arts and practices within the Kansas City scene, or if you're an artist who is possibly thinking of applying for this kind of program.
Yeah.
It's a really great way for you to come and see live, hey, this is what a program like this could help you. This is how it can help you grow as an artist. So,
and I do want to mention that open houses this Saturday, April 21st, from 3 to 10 p.m., and that's Charlotte Street's Town Pavilion Studios at 1100 Walnut. It's the sixth floor in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, right?
Yep, and it's free and open to the public. There will, of course, be refreshments as well. There will be live free performances from our performing artists. There will be zines from our writers, and, of course, all of our visual artists will be there displaying their work and there to talk as well.
And Ruben Castillo, you are a resident there, so congratulations to you on that. Tell us about your work and what you want listeners to know about you.
My background is in printmaking, so I do a lot of drawing and printmaking, but also like recently sculpture and video art since graduating from KU and the MFA program and last May. So right now I am teaching at the Kansas City Art Institute in the printmaking department. So at my studio, basically, it's just like a variety of things, sculpture, prints, drawings, mostly prints and drawings at the moment. So that's what will be kind of on view there.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of exciting to be around other artists and sort of, you know, have that communication between the disciplines and all that. So
yeah. So I came from the printmaking department at the Kansas City Art Institute, and it's a very communal studio space. Like, we're not separated by walls or anything, so we're all kind of next to each other. So coming to a program like the Charlotte Street Studio Residency is, you know, it's familiar territory for me, and it's very comfortable territory. Being able to just, like, talk to people. I mean, like, Nash is, like, my neighbor in the studio, so I just, like, will pop in every once in a while and see what they're doing.
That's cool.
Just have, like, casual conversation. So it's really, I mean, it's a really wonderful opportunity to network with and different types of artists, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, as you said, you're not only just a printmaker, but, you know, so many other things. And having those conversations with other artists are important. We've got Essie Nash. Nash, hello.
Hello.
And you're also a visual artist in your work?
I am. Well, I'm one of those artists who actually moved here from a faraway place called Manhattan, New York. And and what was great about the studio residency and what has been great for me is immediately entering into a community of artists. By moving here, I already had gotten the residency, so I knew that right away I would have a community of artists to build on and to create relationships with here. So this is also my second year to do the Open Studios, and I'm an artist that works with food fermentation. I make sculptures, and in those sculptures I include vessels of fermenting food. So people are often either watching a demonstration of the fermentation happening, they're watching the fermentation change, or they're eating it with my work.
That's interesting. Is there some sort of documentation or footage that is like time lapse or something like that?
Actually, I haven't. That could be really fun. I haven't done that. I haven't done that exactly.
Yeah.
But
well, our other guest, Savannah Rogers, she could do that, right, Savannah?
That would be a great collaboration.
Savannah is a filmmaker, director, producer. So welcome, Savannah.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Oh yeah, there you go. Let me see if you're. Sounds
is that better.
Yeah, that, oh yeah, you just need to get closer. And
close.
So you're good right there. But what do you have in store during this residency? Do you have some ideas in mind what you want to start? How are you going to take a look at this residency?
Well, being a filmmaker in this program is kind of weird. I don't really have a lot of experience with, you know, being in a studio residency or, you know, a lot of the experience that these other, you know, brilliant artists have. I just make movies. So that process is usually a little different. But I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone and try something really cool with this. So during the Open Studios, I'll be making a documentary of the day to highlight the other artists' work. You know, have them talk about what this means for them, you know, that they can have something to take away from this experience, you know, filmed. I feel like a lot of art is delegitimized by their lack of video. You know, we look at theater performers and they're like, well, where's your video? How do I know you did well in this? And so I'm hoping that this will be a nice little short documentary on this. And the cool thing is that patrons who come into my studio for this will have the opportunity to be a part of the creation process. So they can we'll hand them the camera and they can operate a shot, and you know they'll be credited on the final film. And hopefully within the next day or two, the final film will be completed, available for the viewing public. People can share it around, see what they were a part of, see you know the other artists talking about their work. And I think it would be a really cool collaborative experience that gets me out of my comfort zone, but also allows for everybody to have something to take away from this process.
I love that it's interactive and you're not just a passive bystander. You're a part of this process.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing about filmmaking is that it's a collaborative medium.
Yeah.
You know, I'm firmly against the idea that one person does everything. You know, a lot of problem with auteur theory in filmmaking is the idea that it all falls on one person. And it's a really collaborative medium where everybody has something to contribute or else they wouldn't be there.
Well said. I want to say that if you've just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, of course, I'm Maria Foskes-Boyd, your host, and I'm talking to Mason Kilpatrick, Nash, and Ruben Castillo, and Savannah Rogers. They're here with the Charlotte Street Studio Residency. That's you know, what, your first year? Some of you, your first
I'm
year?
I'm a first year.
Yeah, me too.
Second year for me.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about the Charlotte Street Residency and the open house that's taking place this Saturday, April 21st. That's at the Charlotte Street Towns Pavilion Studios at 1100 Walnut, and that's Kansas City, Missouri, and that's on the sixth floor. So, you know, it's interesting because I've been there at that location, and it is, it reminds me of art school because there's so much happening. There's such a community of really hardworking artists that are just doing what they do and doing it well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that's the one great thing about the residency is it's giving us all the time and the space, especially. Mm-hmm. Space for me was really important. If I was going to continue some of the sculptural work that I'm doing, I would need wall space, I would need floor space just to kind of like spread out. And also just have that.
That's
like,
important, yeah.
Yeah, room to like take mm-hmm. risk and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
The other thing about it is that the spaces are all open, so we can always walk around and mm-hmm. see what each other's doing.
Yeah.
We have a lot of like extracurricular activities too. Like we just recently had a group critique, basically a presentation.
Gosh.
Two residents presented their work, talked about it, got feedback from the other residents. So, I mean, it was a little bit like going back to school a little bit, but.
Well, and you know, as artists, that's so critical in your work. I mean, to have another set of eyes looking at something that you've created and, you know, have a discussion about that, right?
And the program is really good, too, about, like, bringing in outside voices, too. Yeah. Pat Alexander, who sort of manages the...
We love our Pat Alexander. Yeah. Almost as much as that Mason Kilpatrick. Yeah.
But he's been really good about... Him and Amy and everybody at Charlotte Street has been really great about bringing outside people in. Like, just yesterday, we had a collector group from Los Angeles come in mm-hmm. and view mm-hmm. Select Studios, and that was a really excellent professional opportunity for all of us.
And mentorship, too, has been a part of the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Julia Cole was my mentor, and I
love you, Julia.
Have learned so much from her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Savannah, you know, I want to ask each of you, really, I want to ask about your website or social media. How can people look at your work? How can they contact you if they're interested in seeing more about what you've talked about here?
You know, I'm on all social media pretty much out of necessity. But you can find me at my website, savannahrogers.com. A bunch of my work samples are on there, corporate, independent, documentary. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Holler at me.
Yeah, good.
My website is senash.com, and all of my social media are on my website, as long with a sign up for a mailing list. And you would get updates if you were to sign up. You would get updates for my upcoming project called Garden Variety Soda Fountain.
Oh, great.
So stay tuned for that.
Good.
And, yeah, I'm just on, like, Facebook, Instagram, and my website. And for Instagram and my website, the handles would be the same. It would be Ruben, my middle initial B, Castillo, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O. So RubenBCastillo.com, and then that's the same for my Instagram as well.
And for people who want more information about some of the artists, I'm sure there's a little bit of a blurb on the website at charlottestreet.org, right, Mason?
Yeah, no, of course. Yes, yeah, so you can go to charlottestreet.org and actually learn about the event for Open Studios.
Okay.
And from there, you can actually go through a link that actually takes you to the studio residency blog. So all of the resident artists can give updates personally about the updates on their work, upcoming projects or exhibitions that they have. You can also go to charlottestreet.org to check out the current call and application process that's open for next year's studio residency program.
When is the deadline on that?
The deadline on that is Tuesday, May 15th at 11:59 p.m.
So, could I send my slides in to you?
Yeah,
slides.
Of course. Yes,
kidding.
Yes, you can.
I mean, that was really the only thing.
I'd love to see you in there.
I mean, that was really the only thing, you know, when I was in art school. It was like transparencies.
Yeah.
No website, no this, no that. But anyway.
Same for me, believe it or not.
Yeah, you know, it's great to have the social media to reach a greater art audience. Although some people, some artists that I've talked to in studio here, they really, for some reason, shy away from websites. It just depends on the individual.
It can be intimidating.
So, yeah. Well,
you can't build a community.
And it's a lot of work.
Well, you can't really build a community without that, in my opinion. I mean, you have to stay connected to people. I mean, whether it's through email or Facebook or Twitter, you know, you have to build a community experience for people to engage with you in your work. It's very rare that you can do that nowadays without it, because social media has amplified everybody's voices to make it a more equitable playing field. But what will make you stand out, in my opinion, is your ability to interact with the people that you meet and keep in touch with them and make them feel like, you know, they're a part of your work.
I love that. I love that. Well, I want to say thank you to Mason Kilpatrick, because I always mess up your name. You're always someone else to me, but you are Mason Kilpatrick because I saw your ID.
Yes, it's true. I'm not lying. Last time I was on, I was Fitzpatrick.
You know what? Whatever. You were on, okay? Get over it.
Be grateful, Mason.
We love you, Mason. And also, thank you to Nash. Thank you to Ruben Castillo and Savannah Rogers. Thank you so much. And you know, the door's open. Come back and see us and talk about projects that you have going on.
I'd love to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Maria.
You bet. We're going to take a real quick break from ArtSpeak Radio. Right now. Welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. This is your host, Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day and, you know, tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI or listening to us online at kkfi.org. Up next, we have Deb Pettit and Pete Cowden. They are the owners, the founders of The Rabbit Hole, which was started by them. They were veteran booksellers and artists. They closed recently on the purchase of a huge warehouse at 919 East 14th Avenue, just north of downtown. This will serve as a permanent home to the Rabbit Hole's Exploratorium. So we're happy to have them here in the studio. Welcome, my friends.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Well, Deb, I know you've been here before, and Pete, I don't think you've been in this show, on the show with me, but please tell our listeners, what is an exploratorium?
Well, actually, it's an
Explorium. Sorry. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. an Explorestorium. So we came up with that word. So just to back up a little bit, we're creating a National Center for the Children's Book here in Kansas City. And the Explorestorium was the sort of moniker we came up with to describe the experience of the exhibits we're going to create within the museum. And it's sort of, you know, great because you're literally exploring a story. That's what we're creating is a radically immersive museum experience where you can actually walk into books and take the journey, become the character. And so, yeah, it seemed like a really perfect fit for that. But there are other things in the rabbit hole besides the Explorestorium as well.
Well, I love that. Was it a few years ago? There was sort of a pop-up Explorestorium, and it was really exciting to see the story come to life in three dimension and kind of go through that building. Or is that something that we'll find at the new location?
Sure. So that was a prototype that we did of an immersive gallery space, and that's part of the ecology of the rabbit hole. So that would be one element inside the rabbit hole is that walk through a single book experience. We're also going to have a print shop and bindery and a bookstore and a performance space, as well as permanent and temporary exhibits.
I can't wait. So what are we looking at timeline? Because I know you just purchased the warehouse, and again, that is at 919 East 14th Avenue, which is, again, north of downtown.
Right. So we started this project in 2015, and we spent the first 3 years, really prototyping exhibits and fundraising, of course, and building the project. And we came across this building in North Kansas City actually over a year ago. And it was never really on the market. It was a conversation we were having. We had been looking pretty hard downtown in the Crossroads, but we couldn't find the building we wanted, and they were all really just priced up so high that we felt like we're kind of on the back end of something. came across the building in the north, and it was exactly the sort mm-hmm. of building we were looking for, although we had never really contemplated doing, you mm-hmm. know, being up mm-hmm. there. But as we spent time, well, we've realized there's just all kinds of things happening and developing in North Kansas City, so we're able to get the building
yeah,
we
really
wanted.
Is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
get the building we wanted for the price we wanted. And, you know, we see ourselves as a destination and as a national attraction. And so... So it all fit together once we spent a little time in the north and saw all the good things that were happening there and really fit into our program.
Yeah, that's terrific. If you just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Deb Pettit and Steve Pete Cowden.
Pete and Patrick.
Oh, my gosh. Maria's having a bad day. We're talking about the rabbit hole, the first Explorastorium, which is really exciting for Kansas City. I know that, you know, it's not just, you were, as you were saying, it's not just sort of this interactive, immersive sort of space. It's going to have a lot more to it.
It is. So we probably should mention, too, that the building that we purchased, we are a nonprofit, not-for-profit, and the building is about 165,000 square feet. So it's a very large building, and it's something that we feel confident about filling up over time. We are an artist-driven project, so we'll be designing and building all of our exhibits in-house, and that's a really... unique approach, and I think it's something that we're really excited about.
Yeah, one of our models is the City Museum in St. Louis, and now Meow Wolf, which is in Santa Fe, which is
oh,
a newer project.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that, but I've been to the St. Louis Museum. Yeah, that's cool.
Beauty of that, one of the reasons it's our model, one of our models, is that it's an evolutionary concept. So every time you go back to the City Museum, you find new things to yeah. do, experience, yeah. explore. Having an artist-driven project like this where we have all in-house fabrication, we'll be able to create that energy, that creative energy, where every time you come back, there will be something new and hopefully awesome to see.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'll go back to your former bookstore where you had, and this is a discussion I had with my daughter. She said, you know what? They had some great artists that came in, you know, to the bookstore. Will that be an occurrence at the new place?
We did have a lot of really great artists
oh my God,
and authors
yeah,
come,
yeah.
And we'll be doing with the rabbit hole. We'll be able to do so many different layers of programming, both for kids and adults and families, and that means bringing people in from out of town, working with people in town. Through a whole variety of arts, because really much of art stems from stories.
Right.
And
right.
so having that opportunity to connect to stories is going to be really powerful.
I also think that's the reason, one of the big reasons we're able to produce this project is because of all the relationships we've built over the years.
Yeah.
We had this store for almost 30 years. And
really?
Many of the
oh, yeah, because you guys started off in Westport.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we sobered up and moved
yeah,
back to
that's
Brooklyn.
Crazy.
No, but, you know, we met and became friends with some of the greatest authors, illustrators mm-hmm. working today. And, mm-hmm. and many of them are on our advisory board right now. And so being able
that's
to have
great.
That kind of gas
yeah.
to where we can actually yeah. work with some of these creators on some of these exhibits directly. So the authenticity of the project is really at a high level, and it's something that I think you were talking about, the different aspects of the rabbit hole. The other thing, it's not just for kids, so there'll be a lot of different touch points. The print shop and bindery certainly will work with students and families on different projects and bookmaking and printmaking and image making, but mm-hmm. also we'll be working with national residencies with authors, and adults can access the print shop and do open mm-hmm. studio time. So so we really want to create a place that's a shared experience, mm-hmm. not a typical mm-hmm. Sort of where a parent's an observer.
I want this open now. Like
so do
I, you know?
I know.
So, you know, I know that last year you held a really terrific, and I think the year before, a really wonderful fundraiser, Stone Soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stone Soup.
Yeah.
It was a great fundraiser.
Yeah.
And so as, you know, we've been moving forward, we're starting to amp up the number of both grassroots fundraising mm-hmm. and different types of fundraising. Okay. So we do have a really great event coming up. So our next public event is May 19th, and it's being held at the Beer Station in, what would it be? Brookside, Waldo. I'm not sure.
On Gregory Boulevard, mm-hmm. that would be Waldo.
It's going to be fun. We have a program called Foundling Membership. So we're doing a lot of fundraising. This is a $10 to $12 million project. So it involves a lot of high-level donor cultivation. But also, we really feel like it's a community project at the same time. And so, we've been doing a lot more. And the Foundling Membership is a way for people to get in closer to the project. And we offer certain perks with partner businesses like Broadway Cafe and places around town that our members can take advantage of. But then we offer a few events. This is one of them at the Beer Station. But everybody's welcome. So it's open to the public. And it's a way for us to show the project to people. I think one of the hardest things about this project for a lot of people learning about it is to understand the scale of it. It's a very large project, and but it's
165,000 square feet.
And sometimes for us to have an event like this, it's just really important to do something that's fun and to get everybody energized and motivated, and just not only let them see what we're doing and what we've been working on and how we see the project advancing, but just letting people have fun.
Well, and not only that, I think it offers people the opportunity or possibility to, how do I fit in this?
Exactly.
How can I help, you know, make this happen?
So, and hopefully we can answer that.
Yeah, we feel bad in a way because, we had a lot more activity as far as including the public in projects in the prototyping phase. We went into kind of a deep tunnel to get the building, and then now we're emerging out of that, but we have a ton of construction work. So we have an overwhelming number of people who want to help with the project, and we always invite that, but we won't have a ton of stuff to do until maybe next fall. But we encourage people to go to our website at rabbitholekc.org and sign up for the email, and so they can keep track of our progress. It's exciting. We're making something absolutely unique in this country. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a real asset to the Kansas City area. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And it's rabbitholekc.org. Okay, I like that.
And you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. And
those are both Rabbit Hole Cases.
Because I think
Twitter.
That it also has artist renderings of future buildings and events and contact. All that information that you want to know is at rabbitholekc.org, right?
Yep. It is.
Terrific.
We're actually overhauling our website now. So in the next month or so, we'll have we're just trying to catch up with ourselves. So
I bet. A lot of work ahead, guys. A lot of work. So, you know what? Thank you so much for sharing this with the city. Rabbit Holes Explorastorium.
There you go.
Coming to a city near you, actually at 919 East 14th Avenue, just north of downtown North Kansas City. Thank you so much, Pete and Deb. Please come back.
Thank you.
We'll keep you updated. Thanks for having us.
You bet. And we're going to be back right after this. Wow. Thank you so much for that. Let me introduce my next guest. You've just heard the Bach aria soloist. We have Elizabeth Soulaine on violin. Welcome.
Thank you, Maria.
You bet. Bo Bledsoe on guitar.
Hi, Maria.
Welcome, my friend. And, of course, the really wonderful Jeff Harshbarger on bass.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You bet. It's kind of funny to be on that side of the board, isn't it, Jeff?
It sure is.
Yeah. And I want to tell you that these three amazing musicians will be joined by Hector Del Cuarto, bandoneonist, and 2018 Grammy winner for Best Latin Jazz Album, Gustavo Cezanav. Latin Grammy nominated pianist. The Bach aria soloist will present their critically acclaimed Night of Tango this Saturday, April 21st at 7:30 at the Folly Theater, 300 West 12th Street. So it's featuring the quintet classics by Astor Piazzolla and Argentina's most famous composer. And so welcome to the show.
Thank you, Maria.
This is going to be awesome. So you have not, it's one of the acclaimed programs, the Night of Tango, but you haven't performed since 5 years? Is that right?
I haven't performed this program.
I'm five.
In 5 years.
Oh, good.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is really going to be exciting for folks. And just
yes.
hearing you practice down the hall, just I had to tear myself away. How exciting is this to be working together and performing this beautiful music?
Well, it's thrilling for me to be working, of course, with my colleagues here, but also bringing Hector and Gustavo in is, you know, it's not a common occurrence for us. So 5 years ago was the last time. So it really is and very much a thrill.
Let's talk a little bit about the music, if you would.
Sure.
The Bach.
Bachari soloists?
Uh-huh. Yes.
For this concert program?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's primarily all Astor Piazzolla's tango music in quintet form, but also there will be a couple of duos. Bo and I will play a piece that he wrote just for two instruments, and it's from his Histoire du Tango. It's called Bordel. And then Gustavo and Hector will do a duo by Kikwe Senesi. It's a wonderful little piece. And then they're doing El Choclo. That's right. I'm trying to remember what the program is. And everything else is going to be quintets.
Wow.
So
wow.
Quite a range. Even with Piazzolla himself, there's quite a range of slow, and then a lot of really exciting fast, like what we just played.
It's very dramatic and just very beautiful music. That is going to be, again, Saturday, April 21st at 7:30 at the Folly Theater. And that is family-oriented, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jeff.
Yes.
This is a little bit different from what, I mean, you're a bass player, jazz, mostly known for that.
Yeah.
Different sort of genre of music for you. Or is it?
Bo and I had a group together for many years called Tango Lorca that would play Wednesday nights on the plaza at a club called Fedora. We were there 6 years, I think, and played for thousands of dancers over that time.
Wow. Yeah.
Competed in different festivals across the country and got played on some international radio. So it's nice to return to this because it was a really big part of our lives for quite some time. And it's really nice to pull all the old scores out and
it's beautiful.
Dig back into old sounds. I was talking about earlier, I call it digging into the hard drive in my brain, pulling all this stuff back out.
And for me, it's very exciting. I played violin for many years, never to this extent, but you know, it's such a challenging instrument, and I assume that the music would be as well, right?
Oh yes, that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah,
because it is very challenging all the time.
Now I mentioned that there is a bandoneonist, right?
Yes.
And can you tell us what that is? What sort of instrument that is?
Tell you about the bandoneon.
It's like, what?
Yeah, bandoneon. It's a very unusual instrument. If you can imagine a typical, you know, German concertina, which, you know, has different notes, like a harmonica, you know, when you blow in or suck the air, there are different notes. Huh. It kind of works on the same principle, but uses bellows. And has many, many, many more notes added to it. And, you know, they've become kind of a rarefied thing. The Allies bombed the factory back in World War II, so there's kind of a finite amount of these instruments. And there was, you know, for a long time there was a lot of concern that there wouldn't be a new generation to play these instruments. But I hear there's some guys in Japan making new bandoneons. Mm-hmm. And thanks to guys like Hector Del Corto runs a festival that starts people on the bandoneon. So there's more and more players now. So I think it's safe.
Yeah.
It's back on the radar. Yeah. You know, do you have another song that you want to perform for us?
And we can do another song.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let me introduce you again. Jeff Harshbarger on bass, Elizabeth Sue Lane on violin, Bo Bledsoe on guitar, and the Bach aria soloist. And I want to thank you so much because we have another guest on after you. But thank you so much. And I want to remind folks, Saturday, April 21st at the Folly Theater at 7:30 p.m. at 300 West 12th Street. You'll be performing there, the Bach aria soloist, available at follytheater.org.
That's right. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you. Hello, welcome back to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Poyd. Up next, we have Jeanette Powers and Samantha Slupski, who did not bring instruments in. other than their
voices.
Well, there you go. So welcome. And yeah, they're both poets, community activists, and they're here to talk about this exciting month of poetry. April is poetry, National Poetry Month. And tell us more about other stuff that's going on, too. Would you?
Well, sure. I think we really came here to brag about poetry and how much poetry is going on in Kansas City, and to encourage everyone to love poetry as much as we do, and then to talk a little bit about something exciting happening in October, which is the Fountain Verse Small Press Poetry Festival. And while it's been going on in Kansas City now, this is the third year, we've rebranded and we have new leadership. And so we just want to tell Kansas City that we have a poetry festival and it's in October.
That's a lot of fun. I can't wait till October. Yeah. So is it lining up as we speak, Samantha?
Yeah. So we currently have all of our presses that are going to be a part of the festival already lined up. And so we have, I believe, six of them. So we have Cringeworthy Press out of Buffalo, New York, Epic Rights out of Canada. So we're international. then we have Outlandish Press with Cleveland, Ohio. We have Right Bloody out of Los Angeles. And then Aztan Libre out of San Antonio. So we just have a lot of really cool and exciting presses coming to town.
Kind of the focus of why we're motivated to have this festival is to unite national and now Canada international poetry presses with the local Kansas City poetry scenes, mm-hmm. because we believe very deeply in engaging on that national level.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to build relationships. And we've been so fortunate to be sponsored by Chameleon Arts and the and the Francis Family Foundation and Charlotte mm-hmm. Street. Mm-hmm. And through partnerships with all of those, we've been able to get funding and venue space and just so much to really take it to the next level, because we want these out-of-town folks to see how great we are. And vice versa.
We have a thriving literary community here. So, yes, you're right about that. Now, for more information, do you have a website or social media set up for people to kind of get excited about it?
Yeah, so that's kind of my part of my role on the board for Fountain Verse. We're on Instagram at just Fountain Verse. We have a website in fountainverse.com, and we're on Facebook as well. You can find us everywhere.
Yep.
But I think that kind of what goes hand in hand with that is like my role as executive director for Poetic Underground, which happens every Wednesday at Uptown Arts Bar. I have been really focused on bringing national poets to Kansas City to do features and workshops. And I got an Arts KC grant that has helped me fund bringing artists to Kansas City, because, you know, flights are not cheap. Driving is not cheap. We want to be able to pay our artists for the skills that they are gifting us with.
Right.
So with doing that, partnered with Fountain Verse, we just are really focusing on making the arts community in Kansas City just more integrated with the national scene, because that just makes our community bigger and bigger and makes poetry...
Yeah, makes it stronger.
Makes the poetry community just... It's a family, and we want to make that family bigger every day. So
tell us more about the event that will take place in October, the festival. Do you have a location, and
so
is it going to be indifferent?
It's going to be the second weekend in October, and it takes place at the La Esquina Galleries on the west side. And the features, there'll be two features per night, so that will be four different presses altogether. And then we're going to have after parties, because a big part of what in the last 2 years we saw was that while we love listening and all of that, they're really, you know, we would do these 10-hour epic nonstop kind of like annihilations of reading. So now it's just a much shorter time, much more focused. But what everybody was missing when we were listening to 10 hours of poetry was really just talking and being ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's how the community really gets built. So we've built in to this structure. And so Uptown Arts Bar, Swordfish Toms, both huge, huge supporters of what we're doing. There'll be after parties there, and maybe a couple other places down the line too. And there'll be a book fair. So because these presses put out books that are not, you know, what's on the national bestsellers list,
right?
But are real working poets who are in the trenches every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we... I think one of our main goals is just like have it mostly be just like a networking event and like just a community building mm-hmm. event, because obviously mm-hmm. we want to hear the poetry and we want to hear what all of these different presses are doing, because I think the important thing is one of our main focuses has been on diversity. And so we made sure to make a diverse group of publishing companies, because all of them do different sorts of work. They publish different sorts of work with different kinds of people. And so that way we make a lot of different stories. Like, we open all the space to have other stories be heard. And that was something that was really important to us and to me, is to make sure that as many different kinds of voices are being heard.
Yeah, so. that was really the fundamental mission when mm-hmm. Jason mm-hmm. Prue took over mm-hmm. Fountain Verse from the iterations it had been before. And I don't believe there was any ill will or, you know, trying to be one type of poetry or group before. It's just the simple fact that when you don't have a budget to pay people to travel and be in places, then what you get is retired, independently wealthy people, mm-hmm. and largely that's white men. Mm-hmm. And we love them. We love you. You're great. But we want to hear more than that.
Yeah, more diverse voices. And aside from this, and I just want to mention really quickly, mm-hmm. You both have things going on yourselves as poets, and mental health advocate Samantha Slupski, and Jeanette, again, is a performance poet and community builder. And, you know, so aside from this festival, I mean, you are working artists, poets, community activists, right?
Yeah, I actually am only home for today and tomorrow, and then I go back on my national tour that I've been doing for the past month and a half.
Where are you headed next?
Next is Denver. It's my last show of tour. It'll be show number 10.
Uh-huh. Good.
I'm really excited I was really glad to be able to make a stop back at home to be here.
Absolutely, thank you.
But yeah, so really that has been my big project as of late, is just traveling and trying to share my story with everybody. Because vulnerability is important, and I'm really good at being vulnerable. So,
and again, you're also the co-director of Chameleon Arts.
Yes, yeah.
So that's got to keep you pretty busy.
Yeah,
too.
We're working towards a lot of different projects. Nothing is completely to fruition yet, but we have a lot of big visions, a lot of big ideas. So it's all a work in progress.
And Jeanette, she's a fellow at the Osage Arts Community, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I accepted a two-year residency with Osage Arts Community, and as part of that, I am doing some programming for them. So first up on that list is called Rocklayer Residency. That's named after the creek that's on their wonderful 190-acre property there, Rocklayer Creek. And I thought that was just perfect, and it's a residency focused on femmes and foundations. And so it's bringing together femme-identifying humans at the intersection of arts and activism for a 9-day residency. To be honest, that's mostly focused on rest, because people who are community builders
like rest.
What is need rest.
Yeah. I don't know what that yeah. is.
But also just catharsis and being together in a quiet space and just sharing our stories with each other.
I love that. I love that. Samantha Slupski, thank you so much. I was just kind of a slur through that. Yeah, Samantha, thank you so much for coming in today. And of course, my friend Jeanette, of course, you're both my friends, but thank you so much for sharing this.
Thank you.
And you know what? We're going to keep in contact with you, because we want to know more about this festival.
There's a lot to know.
Yeah. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Hard.
Very good. I also want to thank Deb Pettit, Pete Cowden, Bo Bledsoe, Jeff Harshbarger, Elizabeth Soule, Mason A. Kilpatrick, S.E. Nash, Ruben Castillo, and Savannah Rogers. Next week, April 25th, we will have guests. I promise. I don't have them written down here. Believe me, we will. So I want to invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon. You heard him just a little bit ago here. He will be up next. Thank you so much for listening. And we send our love and our prayers to Barry Lee and his beautiful wife, Caroline. Thank you so much for listening. Honey, I'm coming home.